and welcome to episode 3 of Voice Notes from the Lab.
Radio voice.
With me, Jack, and...
Hi, Rosie.
And...
the other Jack. Hello. Hi.
And my dog Beetlejuice is sat here fast asleep with us as well today because we are recording episode 3 from my home. Before I said home then, I hadn't quite decided whether I was going to say home or house, which is why
home
I came
is
out
nicer.
Like, home.
Home is nicer because it feels homely.
It feels homely, and also no one probably noticed, I'm sure Constantine noticed, but no one else noticed that... Yeah, the audio quality wasn't quite where we wanted it to be from episode 2. It was a little bit echoey, you probably never noticed. But we're just trying things a little bit different at home, except for it's not been super plain sailing this morning, has it?
Not even slightly. We've been to Jack's house and we've been back to the lab. And then we had to come back to Jack's house because we just keep forgetting piece of equipment.
And I've driven around most of Bristol.
And you have driven around most of Bristol.
My very slow van.
Hey, Rosie, yeah, do you want to come to my house? We're going to record there. Yeah, sure, no problem. Hey, Rosie, where are you? I've forgotten something. You're on the bridge? Okay, cool. Do you want to go to the lab and meet you at the lab? Actually, no, we're going to go back to my house. So
we finally made it.
And we'll probably open the lab a little late, so apologies if you're waiting outside in the rain. You'll have to wait a little longer.
That is in the past now, so you should... be over it by now.
That is in the past.
Ideally.
You're right, yeah.
It would have been a few days ago from when you were listening to it.
I forget we're not live.
Yeah, you're glad we're not live.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not live. Christ.
We can cut some stuff.
So how is everyone? What have we all been up to the last couple of weeks since episode 2? Rosie, what have you been up to? You been up to much?
Been hanging out with you guys quite a bit. We did a workshop on the weekend.
We did.
Why is that?
We did do a workshop. Yeah.
It was just, I forgot. It's fun.
What did we do?
We went to Tim's. Negative Thinking.
Shout out to Negative Thinking. We love you guys.
Tim and Emily.
We did a really interesting and fascinating workshop in wet plate collodion. On glass plates, so they were amber types.
Amber types, yes. Yeah. Nice.
And if you do it on aluminium, they are tin types.
Correct, yes.
Cool. Yeah. I'm glad I learned something.
That was good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a great day, wasn't it? We just had a bunch of fun taking some portraits of each other on silver sensitized sheets of glass.
Yeah, and we got a cute little pic together, which maybe we'll put on the Instagram at one point for your viewing pleasure.
We did get a lovely little...
It's very sweet. It was fun, and they offer some really amazing courses, but that's one that we all sort of agreed that we wanted to do, right? So why not do it together?
Yeah.
Because it's bloody brilliant.
It was. And you were about to start a little... 6-week, 8-week course?
8-week course.
What's the deal with that then?
So Negative Thinking run an 8-week course called the Experimental Dark Room. I hope I got that right. Yeah, that sounds right. And it's essentially on a Wednesday evening every week for 8 weeks. You go and spend 3 hours with the guys over there. And Tim teaches you about different processes. So Mordensage, for example, Sabatier, liquid emulsion, you know, there's things I'm chucking out there. Hopefully we learn all of those, but you get to sort of each time.
And you can teach us, because I don't know what any of those things are.
Then I can teach you. Yeah. But the idea is you do each session, you learn something different, and then you get 3 extra sessions in the dark room to basically perfect some pieces and sort of take everything you've learned and put that into practice on whatever you want to do. And then I believe they then at some point put on an exhibition for you to show your work off, which is really cool. It's amazing because good luck finding anyone else that does that sort of thing, specifically in England. You know, I don't know how many people are doing these things. It was the same with wet plate, as Tim told us. There's not many people that are doing it, let alone teaching it. So it's really cool. And that's it's good. It's exciting. And it's a big thing for me this year because one of my goals is to sort of print more and use the darkroom more. Nice. And it was a nice way for me to sort of get my foot in the door properly, because I kept saying, I'll do it. Yeah, Tim and Emily, I'll come and see you guys soon or whatever. And I sort of never got around to it. But this is a nice way for me to get my foot in the door, learn about quite a few things across the 8 weeks, kind of work out what direction I want to go in. Big thing for me this year is A, printing more, B, just showcasing my work more, because I tend to just slap a lot of on Instagram and kind of leave it be. And a lot of time I'm not overly, not happy, but it's just stuff that I pull out of nowhere, whereas this is actually stuff that I can work on and base projects on and, don't know, maybe even sell a little if you want to buy some. Cool. But yeah, it'd be nice just to sort of have more direction, and actually having a process rather than specifically a subject might be the way to go. So
yeah, well, I guess you are going through a process over the space of 8 weeks with other people as well, which is it's quite a, I think as an adult outside of education, it's quite a rare thing to be able to get to do.
Absolutely.
So I think it'll be a really fun experience. Yeah. I think it'd be like super, super valuable as well. I'm pretty jealous, to be honest. I'd like to do it as well, but maybe next time.
But let me do the work, and then I can tell you all about it and make you jealous, and then
I'll go and do it next time.
You can go and do it next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good way for me to start, and I think it doesn't have to be like that. That you have to do an 8-week course to get into it. So if you're thinking about getting into darkroom printing, not just you two, but anyone that's listening, have a look at Negative Thinking. So I think the stuff they do is amazing, and you could all do with spending a little more time there. Because they're bloody amazing.
Absolutely. But,
you guys want to print more? We sort of spoke about it before. I think, Jack, you've said that you'd like to print some stuff this year.
Yeah, I do. That's probably my goal for the year, really. I've not done any darkroom printing since I was about 15.
Long time ago.
Which was a long time ago. And it was, you know, fuck all, really. I didn't, you know, I think I made one print in the darkroom. It was part of a half GCSE in photography that I did while I was doing my A-levels.
You did A-levels? I thought it was O-levels.
Fuck off. Sorry. O-levels were old GCSEs. They weren't the difference.
Oh, between. No. But you did half a GCSE when you did your A-levels, so it's all a bit of a confusing time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I did, I was doing, it was in year 12, 13, whatever it is, whatever year you're in a sixth form. Half the year, I would spend my Wednesday. Did you do like sixth form on college? No. Oh, right, okay. So in sixth form.
You did college?
Yeah, I did college.
Yeah, but it's different structure.
I did sixth form.
Yeah, but
did. So yeah, on like Wednesday afternoons, did you get like extracurricular time and you could choose what you did with it?
No.
So where I went, Wednesday afternoons, there was like extracurricular time and you could either choose to do like educational things, or like if you played in like a sports club or stuff like that, then that's usually when the matches would be. So normally half the year I'd be playing rugby, and then outside of the rugby season,
right,
I then went and did a photography half GCSE.
Nice, fair.
In the art block with Mr. Grafton, who was fucking nuts but lovely, and had like a proper Ned Flanders tash.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
my kind of guy.
He was great. And yeah, just did a half GCSE, and I just, I don't really remember an awful lot, which is why I think now I know if I went in the darkroom, I don't know, maybe some would come back, but I couldn't like recall any of the process that I did then back to you now. I'm really excited to get some negs and get in the darkroom and just print some stuff and, you know, get stuff wrong and hoof some fumes.
Yeah, nice.
And what was that that we there were some pretty gnarly fumes with the wet plate over ether. The weekend ether, yeah. That was it.
There's
yeah
ether in the collodion chemistry, and it just makes you high if you keep going. We didn't. I just want to say that they don't promote you huffing away. But on the odd occasion, it was nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just part and parcel of doing it, right? You're going to hoof a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that was pretty good. So yeah, I'm excited to get back in the dark room after so long. I don't even feel like I can say back in the dark room because I was there for like 4 weeks for like an hour lesson at a time. So I don't remember anything. So I'm excited to get back in and actually print some stuff. And yeah, don't know what I'll do with it, but it's just the practice of it, isn't it? I think. And again, like we were talking about in previous episodes, it's almost the process of doing it that I'm more excited about rather than actually what I produce.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what I'm... Because Rosie, you've done a fair bit of darkroom printing, would you say?
Yeah, used to. Haven't for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Are you looking to do more of that?
I would like to. I think from doing the wet plate and a couple of weeks before with Girls Camera Club, we did a large format workshop with Tim.
Nice.
I think I would like to... sounds even ridiculous, like slow down a shooting process even further and go to like shooting on paper for a little bit, because I really enjoyed that. Like, it's just even that like extra more step of being like slightly more intentional, I'd like to experiment with that a lot more. But then also then you get your paper negatives and it's easier to you can scan them, but to turn them into like that relates to the darkroom so easily, doing the contact prints from there.
So for those who don't know, what's the difference between shooting on film and shooting on paper, or what are the advantages of why do you want to shoot on paper, why not shoot on film?
Cost for a start, right?
Look, cost. Paper, you can't get a roll of it, so you are setting up one shot at a time,
right?
You've got to be slightly more considered because paper's got a native ISO of 3.
Cool.
So you've got really consider how you're lighting it. If it's going to be like, you know, a long exposure, you're going to bring in some lighting.
So like similar sort of setups that we were doing with the wet plate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Portraits?
I don't know. I've never loved doing portraits.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I don't know. I think it's just like a little challenge almost, not like necessarily something to focus on, but just like a little challenge of something to do, a short, I don't know, experiment. Other than that, I kind of want to try and end this year with like a project.
Cool.
Nice. Like focus on, like, because it's been ages since I've like had like a series, like a cohesive series, and I joined Girls Camera Club late last year. And we've got funding this year, so we've got a 6-month program that we're working towards with a theme of transitions with a exhibition in late July.
Sweet.
Nice.
So hopefully something will start coming together in that front.
Definitely will.
Yeah.
Do you just want to, when you say like a cohesive series, is that something that you want to start an exhibition through Girls Camera Club kind of partway through it?
Yeah.
And it be like a long running project, or is it something you want to finish and complete within the year?
I don't know if it necessarily has to have like a finishing endpoint. I mean, like the exhibition will be part of that, but kind of just have like a series of images that sit alongside each other, because I very much done the whole thing of naturally fall into like taking point and shoot out, and I do odd photos of like my friends or like odd incidental ones. Like, it's never been with much intention. So I think I'd like to focus in a little bit more, just do things more considered. And I think challenging it like with the paper, because it's one at a time, like you can fit it into say a dark slide or something, or in my case, just delicately balancing it in the back of my camera. I think it's just naturally going to be a way to make you more switched on.
It's having that focus.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun, and the direction. Something to a path, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, even if it is just experiments at the end, like they don't work out, but you've learned something from it, then yeah, just a little challenge that I want to do, I think.
It's good to have that. I think it's exactly, you know, sort of what I was saying as well, is sometimes it's hard to go, I need to do a project, you know, I need to do a project. What's my subject going to be? What am I going to do? What am I, you know, is it pitch the people or is it... Whereas actually, Rosie, I think the other day you sort of said to me, and sometimes I need this slap. And it's like, I go into, honestly, I just go into this thing of being like, you should fully slap me around the face. I'm like, listen to me. She grabbed me by my ears. I'm like, listen.
I had had two beers. But that is too beer me.
That's two beer Rosie. Stay away. If she's on a 1.5 pints, leave before she finishes. But no, like you
that's
said to me,
that's
like,
true.
No, she's lovely, really. But no, I always go into this thing of being like, I never have projects. I never know what to do. I never know what to base this on or whatever. And people always throw me these lovely lifelines and I go, yeah, sounds all right. It's not really me. But I think the one thing you said to me was, it doesn't always have to be a project based on subject. It could actually be based on a process.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm excited to do this course that we've just spoke about. And it's exactly the same with you and the paper. It's like, maybe right now I don't know what I'm going to take pictures of, but actually me just focusing on using that process, and that might eventually just give you direction. And you know, the way that paper processes, and it does have a different look, might lend itself to a subject that then you go, okay, cool, actually this works well here, and it gives you that direction. Yeah. And I think like I'm glad you're sort of thinking down the same thing, because we don't always take our own advice, but like, yeah, it's a good place to start and just be like, I'm gonna give myself a project, and that project is gonna be you shooting on paper.
Yeah.
And it's cool, and it'd be good to share your results, and I'll probably do the same. I'm sure we all know by now I bought 4.5 camera.
I
did.
The 4.5 camera.
You were.
I'll be borrowing the 4.5
camera. Absolutely, you'll be borrowing the 4.5 camera, 100%. But yeah, it's cool, because actually, you know, paper is so cheap and sheet film is so expensive.
Mm.
Sheet film is.
Yeah, but also what's really cool is, we're talking about printing more and doing darkroom stuff more, and I think we all agree we want to do that. Paper's that step, because you know, go into the darkroom, take out your camera, and you just chuck it in the tray developer, and it's there. It's so quick. It's fairly instant, but not. And I think it's a really cool way to sort of beat snoring.
The dog snoring.
It's just a really cool way to play more and just sort of experiment. And it's, you know, I know we keep saying this, we work in a lab, we can get things developed pretty quickly, our own work, but it's just, it's nice and cheaply. Yeah Stop rubbing it in. But it's nice that, you know, we can have this set up and play around, and actually it's just, yeah, it's a really cool process.
Yeah.
And I think definitely, for those listening, if you want to just change things up and you're really into analog processes, have a look at shooting on paper. The setup is relatively cheap. As Rosie said, you can chuck a bit of paper in the back of your camera. Yeah. That you don't have to have a sheet film camera. You don't have to go and buy a 4.5 or an 8.10 or whatever, although I'd recommend it. No, but honestly, like, you know, if you cut someone a piece of paper in the dark,
yeah,
you can chuck it in anything. So I think it's worth playing around with, because it's an extra process.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of people shoot film and we kind of stop there. This is exactly why I said I want to print more this year. It's because I shoot film, but then I digitally scan it.
Yeah.
And I've just got digital scans, and I still like the look of that. But actually, it's so cool to look in the whole process.
Well, and this is the like, for me, the really fun element of doing wet plate the other day. Like, unlike you, I don't really have any... Wow, the dog is really, really going for it now.
Got a little dream going on.
Unlike you, I don't really have any desire to pursue wet plate any further than what we've just done.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that I did it. It was really fun. I enjoyed it. But again, for me, it was enjoying that process, trying something new, learning something new, and that's a box ticked now. I've done that, and that was cool, and we've come away from that with some you know, physical, tangible photos that we made on glass,
which
is wicked.
Yeah,
like, that's so cool. And forever. Those will you know, those will live now for a long time, if not forever, potentially. You know, we can have them up on the wall in the lab, and we'll scan them and we'll put them on our, you know, socials, and you can see them and stuff like that. But yeah, for me, that's almost my goal of the year, is to produce tangible work. It doesn't necessarily have to be project based, but I think, yeah, just getting my hands dirty and, yeah, producing something that I can pick up. And, you know, Esther is, you know, always on me for... I need to finish that sentence, otherwise it's just Esther. She's right, always on me to print, you know, make some prints of my work, and, yeah, and we get stuff up on the wall at home. And, yeah, you know, I can just never, ever, ever decide. You're looking around the room.
We're looking around, like, the room. we're frozen, I think, just having a quick look around the room. To, like,
no, there isn't. Right, there's no photos up at all, apart from a photo of my dad up there. But, yeah, other than that, everything is print, graphic print.
Yeah. Beautiful, may I add.
But so that's
very stylish.
Thanks. curated by my wife.
Legend.
But, you know, I can just never ever decide what I want to print, what's worthy enough of printing and put on my wall. Whereas I think getting into the dark room, just taking a bunch of negs and getting in the dark room and printing something, A, it's the step, it's the first step. But I think I'm going to like more of what I've made if it's printed and I can hold it, because I'm gonna hold more pride in that,
yeah,
because I've taken it from start to finish, almost, you know, well, I say almost entirely start to finish. I've exposed that photo, I've developed it myself, or one of you guys has, and then I've taken it in the dark room and I've printed it, and I'm looking at this piece, and, you know, yeah, maybe it's a picture of the kids, or the dog, or, you know, whatever it is, but it's going to hold so much more meaning,
yeah,
when,
yeah,
you've,
yeah,
taken it through that whole process, I think. Whereas, yeah, like, I've got all my scans from my negs and stuff, and I can look through those, and you can spend hours and hours and hours, and you just fall down a rabbit hole of making a folder and then having to whittle it down, and then you send those off to printers to get digital prints, and, yeah, like, digital prints are great and lovely, and, you know, quality can be excellent, but ultimately they just come back from someone else, and I go, is it good enough to put on the wall? Whereas, like, yeah, if I can actually print something myself,
produce work,
put it on the wall, and then it's like, yeah, no, I did all of that.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, yeah, pretty cool.
And I think, like, you know, calm down a minute, but you're a good photographer. Like, you've
got, right, stop it.
No, but you've got that down. Like, you know, you've been shooting film for years. And
good to the,
yeah, God, know, hello. Wish I didn't start this. Do you know what?
I'm just going to
leave
it.
I'm just going to leave it. Yeah. I'm not going to bother. No, you crack on.
I will. But, you know how to use a camera well enough. I've had to rework that for you.
Ring in a bit.
But you've got that. And so it's nice to go, but where's my next step? You know, it's nice to look for that next thing. It's like, okay, cool. I started once shooting film. Now I've got to, you know, quite a high place in how good I am, so now I can drop back down and take it to next, because you're going to go into the dark room, maybe not remember anything, and it's not going to be instantly incredible. You might do stuff you're happy with, but you always have stuff you can improve on, and it's like learning, you know, how to get better contrast, and there might be things where the highlights are blown out in the negative, so you can bring, not completely blown out, but you can bring some of that back, and, like, you know, all the sort of dodging, isn't it, dodging and burning and stuff, so like there's a lot to play around with that you haven't done before, and so all of a sudden you're sort of restarting that journey from the beginning. And like you said earlier, how many times do we do that as adults?
Barely. I think it's one of the most important aspects of being in a creative practice. It's a practice because you're constantly learning more, right? You know, if you stop learning, or if you don't want to learn anymore, then, or if you think you know it all, then you're wrong. Give
you
up.
Don't.
Go home. Because what's the point? That sounds brutal, but yeah, like anyone, any photographer who thinks they've mastered photography is a bad photographer.
Yeah. You should always be learning.
Yeah. Like, you can't, no one can profess to know everything. I think, you know, you can, because there's so many different facets of it. You know, we're working with, I'm trying to think, I'm not going to mention timelines, but, you know, we're working with Girls Camera Club, over the next week or so doing a flash photography workshop with them. And I don't know everything. I don't know everything there is to know about flash photography. I know what I know, and I know what I've been taught, and I know what I've taught myself, and I know what I've been able to put into practice in a commercial photography application, and I know what I've been able to put into practice, you know, taking photos of friends and family and just making photos the way I like to make photos. But I don't know everything, but that's, you know, that's not why you learn from, for me, learning from my peers is the best way of learning. And I think that's A, the beauty of photography community, communities in general, but photography community particularly is how we can all learn stuff from each other, which is why, you know, the stuff that we do with the photo club is so great, whether it's photo walks or print swaps or workshops that we might be doing in the future, you know, stuff like that. We can all learn stuff from each other. And I think, you know, that's a really important thing for people to remember, is that there's never, you'll never run out of stuff to learn. There's always something new to learn, and therefore, bringing myself back on track here, therefore, there's always a new challenge.
Yes.
And that's, and that, you know, if our goals for the year are just to challenge ourselves by doing something new, something different, something that we've not done any of, or something that we've not done enough of, something we'd like to do more of, it's, yeah, just doing more of those things that we haven't done enough of, because it's a challenge.
Yeah, we love a challenge.
And if you're not challenged, what are you doing with your life?
That's deep. Yeah. People come here to enjoy.
Yeah, sorry.
Too deep. Yeah, I was going to say, talking of challenges, challenge that we're taking on soon is to look at pushing film. Am I right?
You are right.
Real good.
Yeah, push it real good.
That was lovely.
Nice segue.
Yes, you're right, Jack. That is what we're doing. Well done. Good segue there.
We are.
You kill segues.
Yeah. Shall I explain a little bit about what we're doing, what we're aiming to do? So
yeah, why not?
Born out of, I suppose, my frustrations a little bit with the amount of misinformation that is out there with pushing and pulling film. There's a lot of misinformation out there, or like, not even misinformation, but half the information. And I think a lot of people think that it's one thing or another, and it sort of is both and neither at the same time. I think it's actually quite a vague that sounds really confusing, and I'm not necessarily clearing things up, but what I want to do, I think what's really important to do, and from the lab side of things, I think it would be
to like dispel rumors and create a catalogue,
right? Yes, yeah, dispel rumors 100%. Yeah, exactly. And we shouldn't be gatekeeping all this information.
No.
We would never.
And just, you know, because it has no benefit to us or to the community.
Yeah.
The more people know about how everything within the analog process works, A, the easier it makes things for us, but just generally the better everyone's work gets, and the more, you know, the more people are able to continue shooting film. Because I think there are a lot of people that are put off. They try something and then they're put off by the results because they don't necessarily fully understand, or they've been told things incorrectly by people.
Yeah.
And the results have turned out to be not what they want, and they've gone, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I think we can, it's our duty, damn it, to share the wealth, man. Like, let's share the information, and if we can, like Rosie said, dispel some rumours and some misinformation and produce a bit of a catalogue of results of pushing a variety of film stocks.
Yeah.
Real good.
So we will...
Because pushing is a development process.
Pushing is a development process.
Yes.
It's a development process. It can be concurrent alongside the exposing process or just a development process, but it's definitely not just an in-camera thing. And it definitely can't just magically save your dramatically underexposed...
Yeah, it's not a recovery process.
Yes,
it's an intentional thing that you are requiring.
Yeah.
Or not requiring, you are asking.
Yeah, it's a creative process. When doing it intentionally, it's a creative process. But the point is, we won't get into that now. There'll be a blog that we're working on that is hopefully going to dispel a lot of those sort of rumours and misinformation and stuff like that. And then our plan is to each of us, the three of us, to take a different film stock every few weeks or so.
Yeah.
Shoot it, push it, shoot it in whichever way we want. And then we'll share our results. And then the hope being that over a period of time of doing that, we've just got this catalogue of results of what a whole bunch of film stocks look like pushed. Pushed one stop, pushed two stops, pushed three stops. You know, compared with how they're shot, shot and developed at box speed. So that can just be a bit of a useful resource for people, because I think at the moment a lot of people we kind of rely on someone must have done this at some point, so it must exist in a forum somewhere, and none of us really want to end up in a forum because it's they're rabbit holes of doom, and they are breeding points. What's the word?
It's not that, whatever it is.
Forums are...
the centre ground for misinformation.
Yeah, completely. Boom. Yeah, forums are just full of misinformation.
Yeah.
Because one person will say something that they heard once from
the loudest,
their Uncle Frank.
Yeah, loudest
and Uncle
voice
Frank
in the room,
was
isn't...
an idiot. And
poor Frank.
Yeah, well, Frank should have known better, quite frankly.
Oh, brilliant.
So yeah, that's our plan. So we've got some names in a hat here, and we're gonna pull a bit of paper out of a hat, and that's gonna choose our first film stock. Mm. And then over the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks or so, we're not putting any massive time limit on it, but over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll shoot that roll, we'll have those results, and they will go up online somewhere on a blog for you guys to see, and we can talk about them in an upcoming episode as well. Who wants to go first? Who wants to pick first?
We'll start with Rosie. Rosie, pick out the hat.
Ooh.
Kentner Pan 100.
Nice. So we're sticking with black and white stocks for this first one, aren't we?
Yeah.
Wee wee.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's it gonna be? Cool. Okay. Nice. Yep. FP4.
Oh, okay. I thought you keep that to yourself.
It's a
cool.
Secret.
Yeah, nice. You'll find out later.
We'll find
FP4.
Out.
Okay. Cool. FP4.
What's left?
I've not pushed FP4 before. I don't think.
I've got...
Really getting in there.
HP5.
Nice.
I'm
okay,
happy with that.
Lovely. Kentmere for Rosie, 100.
100.
HP5 for Jack, and FP4 for me.
Oh, I'm jealous of the FP4.
Sweet. Okay.
Swap.
No.
Okay, cool.
That's against the rules.
HP5 it is.
You didn't read the rules before.
I know, I'm sorry.
I might get a chance.
Cool, so yeah, we'll shoot those over the next couple of weeks or so. And share the results, because yeah, they should be quite interesting. I think quite interested to see. I think HP5 is a good one because it's so commonly shot at box speed, but is also loves to be pushed.
It does.
FP4 I've never pushed. Have you? You've pushed it, haven't
I've
you,
pushed
Rosie?
It, yeah.
And by you quite
accident.
Liked it.
Yeah, by accident, but I did like it.
There you go.
Yeah,
that was punchy,
to 400.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that. I don't think I've. I don't think I've shot much Kentmere, to be honest, a little bit.
It's what my college always had. We had like Kentmere 400 just always bulk rolled and on hand, but not 100.
I think the beauty of Kentmere 100 is we might be pleasantly surprised when we push that.
Yeah.
Not saying anything, but it might be similar or the same as another film stock on the market, after a slightly different time.
Yeah.
And it looks incredible.
Well, that can form part of our, you know, efforts to dispel certain rumours. You know, we don't know anything for certain, but yeah, there are a bunch of film stocks out there that are just other film stocks rebadged, which is, it's not a bad thing at all, as long as you know, if you know what it is, then you can make informed decisions about what you're shooting and how you're shooting it, which I think is, you know, important thing.
Absolutely.
I know Ikigai Film Lab out in Australia are they're pioneers for dispelling misinformation with film stocks, and they've been super open and about stuff, and they're quite a helpful resource if you want to get them. I think they've got a blog or their Instagram or stuff. They're pretty good at sharing those sorts of information.
Super handy.
So we'll go and do that over the next few weeks, but clocks go forward pretty soon.
Sunday, a few days time.
So nights are starting to get a little bit lighter, and we've always found, I say always, over the last nearly three years of the lab existing, summer just gets crazy busy at the lab, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think autumn-winter months, you know, are pretty steady, and then all of a sudden, it's almost when the clocks go forward, someone turns a light switch on.
Yeah, and everyone starts chucking their film.
Yeah, snap happy. What is that, do you think?
Well, I think it's the sun.
But why? What is it about the sun that makes people want to go out and take more photos?
The fact that they're just out in general, probably. You're going for a walk. It's a sunny day, though. Might as well take my camera. It's not raining. Don't have to worry about it. It'll be fine. Slung on my shoulder.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Also, just, you know, depending on, we don't have strict statistics, but, you know, we don't, so I'm not going to misinform our audience. But, you know, in general, God, I'm terrible.
We should get some strict statistics.
We will do.
I can't even say it.
Yes, statistics. Yeah, don't try.
What are you trying to say, though?
I don't know. God, you guys really throw me off. What I am saying is, you know, we see a lot of disposables come in throughout sort of like summertime, and but that's not just down to like festivals and stuff, but I think
holidays too.
You know, it's holidays, and holidays, it's
festivals.
We definitely get busier because of holidays and festivals, and people are out with their friends more in environments that you'd want to take pictures in. You know, if you're meeting your friends, it's drizzly outside, and you're meeting your friends, it's dark, and you're going to a pub, you might not go, oh, this is really the place I want to capture these photos.
Yeah, true.
Not saying you wouldn't, but you know, I think a lot of it is we're all out doing more, and exactly like Rosie said, it's you're out and about, you're not worried that your camera's going to get wet, although, you know, typically in England, who knows. But, you know, in general, it's generally nicer to get out and about. Also, I think there's a little bit to do with shooting, not always, but, you know, shooting in the winter and in lower light, is it requires a lot more work to get the results that you want. And sorry, just a little snooze there. I thought you farted, I won't lie.
He will have done during this time.
Absolutely, legend. But yeah, I think, you know, sometimes it's just, I think film can be quite, because I think everyone's worried about how much light to give it, and if they've got a point and shoot, but they don't want to use a bright flash and stuff like that. I think a lot of people go, they sort of link like bright sunny days and sort of like lovely weather to take in the camera out. I think it'd be interesting to know, but I think,
I mean, summer and film's got a very nostalgic look that goes hand in hand. Like it does. It's what Instagram was built on.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's it. I think that's quite a large driving force.
Yeah.
and you know, it's hard because the colours, obviously when everything's greener and the sky's blue and everyone's out wearing their lovely summery clothes, it's just, it takes a beautiful photo.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, colour film, when the, you know, the sun's gone and it's all a bit grey outside, isn't always the best. And I think, you know, it's not just about colour film, but a lot of people shoot on colour film.
Well, yeah, I guess in the summer, when it's more light, then everything that is colourful is more vibrant. Everything's more vibrant in the summer when the sun is shining.
Absolutely.
And when the days are longer.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you say that you think you have to, and not to say that you're wrong, but just I kind of want you to elaborate on it, that you think you have to, you think you have to work harder to take photos outside of the summer months, in the winter months.
Like,
I have to work harder on getting myself outside.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
just out of hibernation. It's harder to get out of bed.
When you say harder, do you mean you've just, it's harder to motivate yourself to think about what you're going to take photos of, or that you're just kind of, you're generally less inspired?
Yeah, yeah, less from like a technical side and more just from a,
right,
which is, yeah, sort of, I'm definitely going at the angle of maybe thinking about me and hoping everyone's the same, but
no,
but
yeah, no, quite possibly.
It's hard to get inspired. It's,
just don't have the statistic for it, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the strict statistics, but it's hard to, it's quite often hard to get inspired. It's, I think it's hard to get motivated sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I think sometimes, you know, the colours aren't all there in that sense that people are going, you know, I want this really lovely look on film. I'm maybe not going to get the same in the middle of winter,
yeah,
because I've seen these, you know, these really beautiful punchy colours and this lovely sort of vibrancy that you're not getting.
Mm.
But yeah, I think actually a lot of the time it's just, it's harder to get motivated and to go out, and it's cold. It's not just about it being dark. It's, you know, it's cold and it's wet, and, you know, in the summer, you can go and sort of, let's say you're not,
the summer it's warm and it's wet.
Yeah, well, yeah, but yeah, you know, it's nice to spend time, you've got more time of light, more hours of light, and it's nice to sort of go out and take your time.
Yeah.
Specifically if you're looking at sort of roaming around and taking some photos, as opposed to sort of just having a disposable with you or whatever, like that sort of can apply anywhere you want it to. But I think if you're sort of, you've got a particular thing you want to shoot in mind, you've just got more time to do it. And ideally, yeah, yes, yeah, I mean,
true,
if it's wet, it's wet. But if it's nice and dry and it's warm and you can sort of mosey about and it's nice to do so, then I think there's just motivation is sort of instantly there. But in the winter, it's sort of like, oh, it might rain in a minute, or it's wet outside because it's been raining all day.
Mm.
You know, the sun's gone, it's a little chilly, so I've really got to make sure I wrap up warm. And I think it's just a lot to think about, and I think it's just harder to go, yeah, I'm going to go and do that.
Because we definitely see in the lab, we definitely see the ratio between how much black and white versus colour is shot change quite dramatically from winter to summer. It's almost as if winter, everyone goes, right, now's the time to shoot all that black and white I've hoarded in my fridge.
Kind of, yeah.
And summer, everyone goes, all colours, I'm going to shoot in colour, or I'm going to use all that really low ISO slide film that's been sat in my fridge all winter that it's not been light enough to take out and shoot.
I wonder if it's different in like other countries.
Don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, if you know, yeah, if you're in a country where it's pretty good weather
all year round,
I wonder if that makes much of a difference with how people shoot. It must do, surely. If that's how we're justifying it from a seasonal point of view, and that,
yeah, it's definitely
the weather and the light is shit over here in the winter and autumn months, and in the summer it's better, and which is why we shoot more in general and more colour, then yeah, it must be different in other places.
Mm.
I reckon. But, you know, I hate to speculate.
Well, you've got to speculate.
Statistics boy.
Sometimes. Maybe we
should. Sorry, yeah, that was just a query I had. That was just an interesting thought. But no, I don't have a fact for it. So. Right, you are.
Right, guys, if we could, for the next recording, if we can just please make sure we all turn up with our fact books.
I'll bring my notes.
Because ultimately, in this day and age, if you can't pull the fact out, then it's fake news, right?
That's 100% the case. Unless it's on Facebook,
sure,
then it's all...
Everything's real.
And I don't know who uses Facebook, but those people that do are convinced of anything.
Yeah, that is true.
Off on a tangent.
Maybe we should... I'm just thinking, maybe we should do an episode in the future where we talk to another lab in another country.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Share notes, our friends, share our experiences.
Our friends over the pond.
Yeah. It can be a real lab love-in.
Yeah, I'm here for
live. A live lab love-in.
Did you just say live, laugh, love? Wow.
Brilliant.
Pretty much.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, we could do that at some point. I'm sure someone will be up for it somewhere or another.
If you're listening to this, any friends somewhere else in the world...
And if you'd like to join our Patreon to eventually buy us plane tickets.
Yeah. In which case, let's pick the Australian lab.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we'll just go over and record an episode over there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, because I don't want to wake up at like 4 a.m. so that they're awake in their lab for us to record.
No, we might as well just do it real time.
We might as well just go.
Guys, unfortunately, we've not been able to raise quite enough for the plane tickets to Oz. But no problem. We will be visiting a lab down in Cornwall. The weather is slightly better.
Slightly nicer, we think.
It just changes more often.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk to our friends in the Australian part of the world. Otherwise known as Australia. See if we can hook something up at some point.
That'd be cool. We'd love that. Please.
not just this year's goals.
So that pretty much wraps things up for episode 3, I think. We have got... Well, one thing I wanted to say, just going back to earlier, we're talking about negative thinking, run by good friends Tim and Emily. We spoke to them over the weekend, didn't we? When we were there, and we're planning on getting them onto the podcast.
We are.
On a future episode.
Yes, please.
To talk about everything they do, talk about Tim's background, which is pretty fascinating, and everything they have to offer, because, yeah, like we said earlier... the more people that get involved with that sort of stuff, the better. And not just from a, you know, from a longevity point of view, but A, there is a real conscious effort from Tim to keep certain processes alive, because they are really old processes. I mean, what, the wet plate collodion?
The third photographic process to ever exist.
The third photographic. And what was the first and the second? I remember daguerreotype.
Daguerreotype was the only one I remember.
Yes, the only one. Sorry to the other dude. What was the other one, Rosie?
Apologies.
And one, they were, was it, oh, I can't remember which one was which.
The sea.
One of them was, they were pretty much created for producing, like, blueprints, right? Or, like prints for, it was like copies of stuff. Is that right? Basically, the reason why wet plate was created was because the two processes that already existed, one of them didn't render stuff in essentially high enough resolution, and the other one was far too expensive to do as often.
So the first photographic process cost a lot of money, so it wasn't accessible to most people.
Well, they're both dead. They're both spinny.
And then this one was created based off of the need for a sculptor. I wish I remembered his name. I'm so sorry, sir. The need for the sculptor to be able to send photographs of his work rather than he created big sculptures, so he couldn't just go, hey, I'll bring it to you, and if you don't like it, I'll drag it back. So it allowed him to do it super high quality.
Yeah.
And I think it was just more accessible in general.
Yeah, so, like the chemistry was.
Yeah, the collodion that he used was essentially like a super glue, I think, that he would use for his sculptures. But, you know, we shouldn't tell you all of this, because what you could do is just book onto the course.
Absolutely.
But it's really fascinating. And what Jack was saying is, you know, what Tim and Emily do over at Negative Thinking is they teach you these sort of old processes that actually are still going, and they are going stronger than they have been considerably for the past few years. And they're just doing some fantastic work to really push those and sort of get the knowledge out there, because before that wet plate course, I didn't know that was a third photographic process. I barely knew what the first was, and we can't even remember what the second one was. So,
exactly.
They're doing some important work.
So yeah, we'll get them on a future episode to talk about everything that they're doing. If you want to follow them on Instagram, they are negative_thinking_Bristol, and then they've got their website and bits and bobs on there, and they always post all the workshops they've got coming up and how many spaces are left and stuff like that.
We'll get that in the website description as well.
Yes, in the podcast notes, we'll put all of those links in there as well, so you can check those out from there.
Correct.
Nice one. Yeah, cool. Well, that's it from episode 3, isn't it? Unless you look like you have something to add there, Rosie.
Oh, no, I was just going to tease Jack, yeah.
Yeah,
excellent. So, in the next episode, I felt like Dr. Dre there for a little minute. Next episode.
You wish.
The next episode is going to be a juicy one, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember? Next episode, we're going to be talking about all things gear.
Oh, gearheads.
How much do you need? Is it ever enough? Can you pick a camera for life, or are you constantly swapping and changing? I think that's going to be a pretty tasty one. That might be a good 2-hour podcast jobby then.
Nice. No. So you might have to record that, you know, at a good time.
Yeah, probably
when the lab's open.
Not an hour before the lab opens.
Brilliant.
Tune in for episode 4. Thank you for everyone. If you've got to the end of this episode, well done. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you all next time.
See bye for me. Weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See bye from me.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been Voice Notes from the Lab, from the folk who develop your film at Jack's Lab. For those who don't know us, we're an independent photographic film processing lab in the heart of Bristol. You can find out more details about the lab, including prices and our processes, at jackslab.co. Thanks again for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a review. It helps massively with reaching a wider audience and getting to know what you like and dislike about it. You can subscribe to the series via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to tell your friends.